Roll it.
Oh, yeah.
Four pre-rolls this week. Take two. Love Mad Rabbit. Love reading their ads. They're all committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare with all-natural products that help you improve the healing process and preserve tattoos. When you think tattoo care, think Mad Rabbit, Anthony. You got a lot of tattoos. They've preserved over 1.5 million tattoos. We have an exclusive offer just for listeners. Go to madrabbit.com/JRVP and use the code JRVP to receive 25% off. That's 25% off at madrabbit.com/JRVP. Promo code JRVP. New sponsor. Two new ones this week, Anthony. Get excited. Private Internet Access is a leading VPN provider that works with all major streaming services so you can have more access to more content than ever before anywhere in the world. Visit piavpn.com/JRVP for 82% off plus 3 months of free VPN service and live a truly private digital life. That's piavpn.com/JRVP. Seriously, 82% off, just $2.11 a month. You also get 3 extra months completely for free. You must go to piavpn.com/JRVP for a truly private digital life. I am a hero at home with the kids after signing up for this. You'll have to find out why later, Anthony. Viori. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Go to viori.com/JRVP for 20% off your first purchase. That's VUORI.com/JRVP. You'll get 20% off and free shipping on U.S. orders over $75. Anthony loves his Viori. He also loves his Athletic Greens. They're giving you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D, 5 free travel packs, with your first purchase. I feel like our listeners can just read this for me at this point. They know that you got to visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP for a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. We did 4 pre-rolls twice, and now we got some God-given herpes, a plate of dog penis, and whether Anthony makes friends with fans, all coming up on episode 170 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Comedians are pretty spooked right now. If we were to just stay home all the time, we think you guys don't want us to keep pushing boundaries and questioning authority and calling people out in the shit. And you know, we really didn't sign up for this. We know you don't like all of us. You might be offended by some stuff, but just know we're doing the best we can with a lot of sketchy old tweets we regret. We didn't sign up to be heroes.
Yeah, doesn't that feel better? Nice and smooth.
Just a little behind the scenes, we had to completely redo the beginning of the podcast, including the pre-rolls, because Greg didn't plug the thing into his computer just to play the theme song. We did talked for like 5 minutes.
We didn't
then he
talk.
Hit that button.
I just read the pre-rolls and you enjoyed it, and I know you enjoy it a second time.
You just held the wire in your hand and said, Aaron usually does it, and then made us do it.
It was
all
a complicated situation, all the plugging in, all the technology. What was that terrible tweet?
It was...
That wasn't Whitney Cummings, was it?
It was Whitney Cummings.
Oh my God, because she had the similar-ish one...
Spooky Mental Haunted House.
Yeah, the Spooky Mental Haunted House.
Yeah, at the end of her new special, she just stops and just gives this long speech about comedy. And then she put it out. Like, I saw it. I watched the special. And then she put it out on Instagram. And a lot of people were taking the audio from it and doing funny videos. And I was like, I have got to write this down and try to say it as verbatim as I can.
She's one of your good friends.
Mm-hmm. I like Whitney a lot.
And you respect her quite a bit. But she's on this whole... you know, we know you're not our heroes. No one's saying that. What are her bad tweets that she's so worried about?
We didn't sign up to be heroes.
But like, what are that's just going to get everyone going through her tweets. I guess she wouldn't say that or send that out until she's already scrubbed them all.
It's just a generic thing people say about comedy. Like, oh, my old tweets. Like, no, I've seen her tweets. There's nothing that's going to get you canceled.
It's also very easy to... some people just delete it all. Like, no one's going to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And just start over. Some people just have it, like, auto-delete every month or whatever. That works. No one's going back.
Tell Whitney. She didn't sign up for this.
I mean, yeah. I feel like comedians are... I'm just going to like type, you know, stereotype it. They're in their own heads right now, I feel like. Maybe that's everyone.
It's marketing. It's marketing. It's like, oh, we're going to get canceled. Support us.
I think it's like athletes are going through different experiences than any athletes ever before because of social media, and I think this is comedian. And there's too much that it's got them in their own head where they're sort of always responding to tweets and like kind of what they hear in their mentions instead of just like being cool. And it sucks. It's bad for your mental health.
I'm cool.
You're pretty good at it.
Because I didn't sign up for this. We didn't sign up for it. Don't cancel us. Last week, I talked about my urge to drink again. Liz was gone. Liz is still gone. She gets back tonight, and I did not drink.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an upset, especially with you came into the studio quite low energy, a little grouchy, I would say.
I was grouchy. I was a little tired.
And I thought, oh, he's been drinking. Because I just felt like once you weren't drinking, you were kind of in a better, more lively mood. But it might just be you were without Liz for a week.
Yeah, without Liz. But as soon as Liz heard the podcast, she texted me and was like, you're thinking about drinking? And I was like, no, I'm not gonna drink. But I was a lazy piece of shit all week. Didn't do any shows. Didn't go to the gym. Hmm. Didn't do anything. Hung out with my dog. Hung out with Rumi.
Why? I was a little worried too when we left. I guess I don't feel as comfortable telling you what to do or not. Maybe I should of like telling you not to drink. But that's what I was thinking as we pulled away, and I awkwardly was like, "Hey, if you want to hang out with the kids this week, we're going to Griffith Park."
Why would hanging out with your kids make you want to drink less? I was fine. I was just. I was tired. I needed a week to be a piece of shit. And now Liz gets back tonight. I'll go to the gym tomorrow. I've got shows. I've got Largo on Friday. I've got shows to get ready for in October. The tour starts 7 weeks there. Just booked a bunch of stuff for 2023. January, February, March,
really?
April, May. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They've announced that in a few months. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to be in tour.
What's going to happen at JRVP?
I'll be back every Tuesday. The reason we do it Tuesday nights is because I'll always be in town.
Okay.
You know, we can figure it out. Don't you worry.
That's good. I have 1 week in the UK coming, I believe. But other than that, I think we're locked in.
When is your week?
We can tape two shows. That is the last week of September.
But we don't have to do one every week, too. I mean, JRVP can take weeks off. We're only supposed to do like 45, 47 episodes a year. We do 52. We can take a week off now and again.
We can do whatever we want. Now that I just found out, like our YouTube listens are just through the roof, and that's just going to be helping grow the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Aaron's been practicing. Because that's gotten way sexier.
It's definitely sexier. There was two emails this week. This is not part of Email Corner, but just to let you know, Anthony, the two listeners did write into JRVP, Junior Vice President, at gmail.com and was like, who's Aaron? And then one person was like, who's Darren? So just, you know, if you're popping in, you hadn't listened to an episode for a while, we are in a studio here in Burbank, all things comedy. We're on YouTube, and Aaron is helping us out with the production.
You don't have to report every email that you get.
I know, but that was just a way to get into, like, resetting for people. Not everyone listens to every single episode and is going to know what's going on. It's like a broadcastery thing, you know?
You love a reset.
I'm the real broadcaster.
I actually hung out with one of my friend's kids this week. I went to brunch on Saturday to meet up with Megan Gailey, and she brought her beautiful son. And the son was like totally best behavior, sat next to her table.
And
baby. Yeah, like less than a year old. Sat in this little crate thing that I got it for its baby shower. Like the thing that you put into a stroller and you can just take out with you. And we're sitting there gossiping, talking shit. And then and she's like, are you going to have kids? What do we think? I'm like, I don't want kids. She's like, oh, we'll see. And then we get up to leave and she's like, would you walk me to my car? And I pick up the baby in the little like carry thing. And it's so fucking heavy. I was like, if any part of me was thinking about having a kid before, lifting this baby up makes me never want kids. Like just carrying the baby from the restaurant to her car. I was like, take this fucking thing and get out of here. I'm going to go home and hang out with my dog.
Well, it's a sign you haven't been going to the gym enough. you know, you need that dad strength. I was about as strong as I ever was. I don't know. I hate that we're on camera right now because I just realized I just like mini flexed in the camera. I shouldn't be doing that to you. Anyways, you do. I was very strong like when my kids were about a year and a half, right to the point where you stopped carrying them. That was like about as strong as I've ever been in my life. So
I mean, it's a baby. That. It's just the stuff that comes around the baby is heavy.
Right. Yeah. But eventually they keep getting heavier and heavier. Walker is 7 years old. He still wants us to carry him sometimes.
How old is he?
Seven.
And he still wants to be carried?
I mean, just here and there, just sort of joking around, especially from his mom, but she can't do it anymore.
When do you go from like, I'm going to carry you to I'm just going to push you away from me?
Ooh. Yeah, it's like four.
Yeah.
It's about time. At times in your life, I feel like, you know, as your friend, you've at least been open-minded to maybe having kids at some point.
I've talked about this before, that it's like, before it was like, this is impossible. You know, if you're in your 20s, if I gotten someone pregnant, it's like, we're going to get rid of this right now. I cannot do this.
There was a brief period where I feel like you thought maybe there was, like, okay, if something came along, maybe you were like, kind of open to it, but that period.
Yeah, if something happened, I would be like, okay, let's discuss. Let's discuss all our options before we move on. There we have options. And now I'm like, you know what? I don't envy any of my friends who have kids. It seems like a fucking hassle. And if you like are into it, it's because you have nothing else going on in your life that you're like, I'm going to focus on these kids. That why would I want to do
that?
What
about me?
You've got a wife who takes care of your kids for you.
That's not true.
She does.
I do a lot. I mean, she does, but. I mean,
you're like a portrait of Dorian Gray where like you look like the same as you used to, but all the aging and like the wear has gone on to your wife.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. You sure you want to put that out there?
She doesn't listen.
She is. She's been listening.
She's come back?
She came back.
I wonder what changed.
Big fan of Aaron.
You should I don't think you should envy me, but, and we're like a pretty, I know you don't.
I don't envy you.
I know you don't, but. And we're quite a wholesome family. We do most things together, partly because, you know, Emeka doesn't drive. So it's like, you know, if we got to go somewhere, we're all going, basically. But my kids have been like the best thing going in my life.
You have good kids and your life's not that great.
No, it's I got a show at NFL Network. I've been working at Sky Sports. We have the other podcast. My career is going great. This is going great. Got friends around me. What do you mean? But the kids give me a sort of satisfaction or meaning that I don't think I would have ever found in any other way. So I am not someone that says everyone should have kids and don't ever try to convince anyone. But they personally, you know, they've brought a lot of joy to me.
People who have kids talk about it like it's like this great joy, but they don't remember the joy of not having kids. It's great.
I do when they're gone, though. I mean, I do in the couple weeks that they're in Japan and I'm home. And those are great, too. Mm-hmm. So they're just great in different ways.
Yeah, I'm not knocking having kids. I just don't want to do it.
Well, the thing where parents are fake about it is like your friend Megan, who has an infant. I mean, that sucks. I mean, you like convince yourself. And it's different with moms, obviously. But for the most part, even moms, I think, look back on that. And it's just like you're convincing yourself that that isn't brutal. But once they get to be like five or so, then it's fun. I'm right now, I've been thinking about this a lot this offseason. I know you have more going on in your week. But I've been thinking about this a lot now. I am in like the sort of in the perfect moment of parenting. They're 7 and 10. And they're about to like be kind of sick of me and too much. Like you got to wait till 5 till they're not as much work and they're like actual people that are more fun to hang out with. Like I can actually play a decent tennis match now with Walker. Like he doesn't suck. It's good. We get a good workout. Like we all have fun together. And then soon it's gonna go over the other side where it's like too much. So I've been trying to like enjoy this summer, this time in our lives.
So you recommend having kids if you want to play tennis with someone?
I mean, it helps, yeah.
Why not just, like, find a friend who plays tennis with you?
You know how hard it is to find someone who is, A, like, at your level, and then, B, happens to be free in, like, the four total hours in the week where you just suddenly have time? I mean, I'm like you. I don't really have a set schedule all the time. You don't know when it's going
to
be.
Is it harder than raising a kid for 5 years to get them to that point?
No, but, like, I was dropping off Ellis at beach camp last week. And it's like, sort of, she's coming to, you know, she's 10, she's getting to fifth, and she just has that joy in her. Like, this is, it's like making her so excited to go to these things that, like, me and you don't have. And you just, you get that secondhand through them in a way that you would not understand.
I get a lot of joy when I leave here. Like, we finish the podcast and I get to walk out. That's awesome. I don't have to have kids for that.
You should be excited to come in. You seem like, you know, it's like, oh, it's a grind, you know, doing the podcast with
my
friend Greg. Yeah, you should be excited. It is exciting now.
It's fun. I enjoy watching you get all pumped up, scream into the mic, make us start from the beginning, do all four pre-rolls again.
That wasn't the best moment, but I felt it was necessary. Like, you love going to libraries. Like, we all went down to the library last week.
We're
wholesome as fuck, you know.
Yeah, but you could be wholesome without the kids. I'm not knocking you for having kids. I'm saying, yeah, I don't want your life.
No, I get that. For and you. I don't think
playing football at West Cannon High may have been the opportunity of a lifetime for you.
you would be. Well, see, I'm doing it now. I'm being the friend who's like subtly trying to convince you, because I don't want you to have kids. That just sounds like a pain in the ass. But you would be great. I mean, the way that you've jumped in being a dog owner and then partly like hired people to do a lot of the work for you, that's how you would be as a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, you would jump in, you would be all about it, and then you would outsource it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like the way to go. My sister just had another kid today. I'm an uncle three times over. My sister, I've got a niece and a nephew, damn, and now I believe another nephew just arrived today.
You don't even know?
They sent me a picture of my brother-in-law.
Is that the text you got right before we started?
No, that was something else.
Okay, because that seemed to put you in a bad mood. It would have been funny if getting the baby picture was like, fuck, another one.
It was Arden Grace. Arden Grace Morrison arrived at 8 a.m. this morning.
Arden? No, a lot of Ardens. There's an NFL player named Arden Key.
I assume Arden's a boy's name?
Yeah.
I've heard it both ways.
It's a boy.
Congratulations to my sister and her husband. I'll see the kid in a couple of weeks.
So do you like doing nothing, though, all week? That doesn't sound like it would necessarily be...
It felt like a vacation. It felt like, okay, I didn't have much to do. I could take the week off. Things are ramping up again that I was like, you know what, let's just be a piece of shit for a week and then get back into it. But I wasn't like eating a bunch of junk food. I didn't drink. I just got high, watched some movies, watched some TV, read... But I didn't do much. Except for seeing Megan, I didn't do anything. And it was fun. It was nice. But I'm glad Liz is back and I have stuff to do. I have plans to do. Speaking of which, before we move on, let's talk about merch, Greg.
It's time.
Merch is finally up on the website.
Merch is here.
I've seen... I get a notification every time someone buys anything.
Mama, merch.
I thought you were about to sneeze. Every time someone buys something, I get a notification telling me what they bought and how little money Greg and I make from it. So I assume people already know that it's out there a little bit. I wanted to announce
The mugs. We only get $2 of profit off the mugs.
Mugs aren't bad. We get $2 off everything. Mugs aren't bad. We'll let's get into it. So I said I want to announce it on the podcast tonight. And then stores live as of right now. So if you're listening to this, you can go on TeePublic.com/Jesselnick, I believe. The store is under Jesselnick. And here are the designs.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can hear,
yeah, if you're
you can
watching,
see the designs. I don't want to, you know, alienate our listeners. They can go to that website.
It's, yeah, obvious. Go to it's the obvious. Website. Go to my website, anthonyjesselnick.com. I'm sure on Twitter I'll announce it. Instagram, TikTok, tomorrow there will be some kind of thing. But let's walk through what we got here, all right? we went with three different designs and different versions of it. We've got the Jesselnick and Rosenthal Vanity Project, JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
That Whoa Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball. This is one of my favorite designs that Liz came up with, because people were trying to give us actual meatballs and it looked like shit. And then Liz took a classic diner t-shirt. Mm-hmm. If a diner had merch, found some of those and then made her own version of it with a plate of spaghetti, the tagline, and then Jesselnick and Rosenthal up there. We liked it in the red with the blue, and then she made it all red for a black shirt, and we loved them both, so those are both up on the website. Love those. Then we got the JRVP Horses of the Soldiers of Pets t-shirt, which I love, kind of a band t-shirt. Like, took the Ramones logo and made it into our own thing. I think that's the one that Greg and I are going to wear the most, because it doesn't say Justin, it doesn't say Rosenthal, but it's kind of like a cool classic design.
It's a cool design. The color, you know, the black shirt's cool. That's probably what I would get. Emeka wanted the lighter version of the meatballs.
Yeah.
Which is maybe my favorite, though. Even though I'm going to wear the horses, I think that's my favorite shirt.
And then we've got three different of the JRVP logo, very collegiate t-shirt Liz came up with. One is a cream-colored JRVP with like three different colors. And then we've got white t-shirts with either a navy blue or a green. It's all the trend now. But I'm excited for this. I didn't want funny t-shirts.
Wait, what's the trend? Green is a trend?
Mm-hmm. That color green.
What? Okay.
Don't make me quote fucking Devil Wears Prada to you. That's the new color this year. Is that green?
Okay. And like collegiate, it kind of has that Animal House lettering looking vibe almost. Is that trendy?
No. The color green is the okay. Collegiate's been around. That's always trendy.
One thing I liked about this whole process was that you made it clear after some initial asking me of some ideas that you not only would not include me in the process, but you wouldn't show me anything because you didn't want to hear my opinions on it until it was finished.
Exactly. I mean, Liz and I talked about it like once or twice, got into fights, and I was like, just do it, okay, and I'll be happy with the final product. But we're going to have a lot more designs as we go. We just want to get these first ones out of the way. I want something kind of timeless looking that doesn't look like podcast merch. Podcast merch is garbage. Funny t-shirts are funny once at best. Mm. I just want something kind of cool.
Well, they are funny, but they kind of work on without needing to know the joke anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we'll have more coming.
What was the decision to put? I just noticed that it says Los Angeles, California on a couple of the designs.
Yeah, that's a diner t-shirt. That's what they do. They have like the city that the diner's in.
I like it.
Yeah. I watched Liz put this together. I'm very happy with it. If you like it, buy it. If you don't. I don't need you to buy this, and there will be more merch coming all the time. New colors, new designs. Hopefully Liz doesn't get sick of this because we need her.
Between those two options.
There's something to buy. You can buy t-shirts.
Merch.
T-shirts, sweatshirts, stickers, wall art. Get the wall art. You're going to love it.
Really? I didn't even see that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's wall art.
I might get that and then put that in the background of my my home shot, and then we can get a little Jeselnik and Rosenthal vanity project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Shot up on NFL Network, some free pub for the podcast, a little cross promotion.
That'd be great. But yeah, merch is up on TeePublic now. But if you like it, buy it. If you don't, wait. We'll have something else that you like. If you don't like it, I don't need to hear about it. I don't care. Liz doesn't care. We dare you not to like it. I can't wait to wear it.
And do you want suggestions? Because we get a lot of suggestions. Like, we've gotten a lot of people volunteering to come work for us. We're good right now. And then I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people sending in, like, ideas and designs for t-shirts. But I think we're good.
No, send in ideas for t-shirts.
Okay.
I want to see it. See what jogs Liz's creative banks.
Right, but to be clear, whoever is sending it in, we're not going to hire them. No. Don't get your hopes up. We're going to take
your idea.
Although
if we are going to hire someone, it's going to be because you convinced Greg to hire you. So talk Greg's ear off. See if you can get it done. Did you change the email address password yet?
I actually did it today.
All right.
I did it.
You seem very happy.
Well, I didn't need to. Your manager changed it to a totally Byzantine password, which was like impossible. So that's why after a while I changed it. But I knew it wasn't necessary because she had already changed it.
You
but
always yes. change it again, so it's your password now.
Okay, yeah. Now hopefully I'll. It is a pain. It, like log doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm putting in that work. I'm putting that work to make that merch money.
How was your week other than that?
I feel like I kind of hit my wholesome stuff already. You know, it was a family heavy week. A lot of tennis. I think we've played almost daily, Walker and I. I'm like it's go time. I'm like Richard Williams in that movie, and he's my little Serena.
You're like Will Smith.
Not really. I'm Will Smith.
Okay.
Not really. But this is a time week, so I sort of have some free time. I've been very busy with training camp and everything, but it's more flexible at this time of year. But otherwise, yeah, it was a lot of family stuff. We went to a birthday party on the beach. Their school starts on Thursday. Like I said, we went downtown. We love doing that. The Central Library in Los Angeles has to be one of the best libraries in the world. And we head down there as a group, but not a lot of spicy stories.
No.
No, a lot of writing about preseason fantasy football. You're just regular football, not fantasy football.
So when does your season actually start kickoff? Or is it like
week one is September 8th?
But when do things get busy for you?
Now. We're doing 3 to 4 shows a week at the NFL now, and I'm writing like a monster column, but it's still better than it's going to be in a few weeks. It's the ramp up.
This is your first season under your new contract, right?
Yeah.
Any new responsibilities?
No. It's sort of on us on some level. I might have some new stuff popping up. I'm not sure. Even though the season is close. I'm hoping to have something, but I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, look forward to that announcement. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? Is that new music or is that?
We're trying a couple new ones. No, okay. I added some new ones.
Okay. Yeah, we did get some notes. People don't like the music. Some people were kind of iffy on the split screen. We're keeping the split screen on YouTube. I like that you can see the look on my face while Greg talks or vice versa.
Why wouldn't people like it?
Because it's disorienting. We look like we're in different rooms because of the different backgrounds. Which, listen, we're working on that. We're trying to get that done. But I like split screen. We're going to keep that. Keep giving us notes about what we can do to the studio. We didn't do anything in between last week and this week because Liz was gone. But we'll keep doing stuff. But we did. I don't like the music. Greg's. That's all on Greg. If you don't like the music, you don't like Greg.
Well, maybe it's just the music in general. Using music. But people didn't like the whoosh. People don't like anything.
That's right.
You know, so this is what we're getting. It's free. I'm spending too much time looking for crappy.
How much time did you spend?
Yeah, like on the music specifically.
Uh-huh.
Like 10 minutes.
I don't believe that for a second.
Oh, I did. Maybe like 7. I mean, for sure, for sure. I mean, you know, you got to look in the soundlibrary.org and cut it and transfer it. It's a lot. Once the I'm trying to just streamline this thing and build it up. So because once the season's starting, I'm not gonna have time to be digging in.
Yeah, the 7 minutes will be gone.
This is hard stuff. Yeah. The split screen though, we could in theory and maybe this is impossible, but like some of the shows split screen and some of the shows not.
Why?
I don't know if because it's two different dynamic ways to watch us, and why eliminate one entirely?
I have seen things where they do. It's like it's a full screen thing, but there's like it's window and window, so you can see both of us, and then like a wide shot all in like one thing. But I like split screen more.
Right,
the way it's going
to
be,
and it gets the listeners and us ready for like when we go on to Twitch, and we just have like a watch party for different movies and whatnot.
Do you have Twitch?
No.
I don't know anything about Twitch.
But just like live stream, just our reactions. We sort of talked about that. I guess we wouldn't do it on Twitch, most likely.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
It just like having a reaction show of us actually like watching something.
Just anything.
Anything. I mean, it could be watching our own podcast. It could be watching... why can't I think of the... I've been trying this whole time to think of the goddamn dog movie that we always used to reference.
Air Bud?
Air Bud.
And that was, did we get any notes? That's not bad.
That's right.
I like that beat. Now it's time for a little place we like to call Email Corner. Email Corner is email. It's a corner. It used to be called something else. Now it's just Email Corner. Greg's got some messages.
Well, yeah, we try to hit a few now. And like I said before, email us at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. Also, go ahead, review us on iTunes. Give us that 5 stars. People were listening. It really popped up the last few weeks. It's good. And keep sending the links, too, the story links. I used many of them this week. It was very helpful. The first question is from Tim. He says, as an avid listener since nearly the beginning, he often has to remind himself that he's not actually friends with you guys. I catch up on your lives weekly, laugh along with your jokes, and read your book recommendations. As a sane, relatively normal person, though, I understand that I'm not really friends with you and never will be. Even if I lived anywhere near LA, my status as a fan would make any sort of friendship lopsided and untenable. But not everyone is normal. I'm emailing Anthony to ask if anyone's ever downplayed being a fan of his in order to befriend him. How did he find out that that person was a fan? What happened afterwards?
It's happened a few times. A lot of times, it's usually like a stranger coming up and just talking to me. Like I'm just some guy in the airport. And then I start to figure out that they recognize me and are fans. That's always a little bit weird, but it's like in a 5-minute period of time. So it's like, okay, that wasn't the greatest, but I'm just going to leave and I forget about this. That happens every once in a while. I have had people, like I meet someone at a party and they act like they're just some normal person, and then I start to realize they're a fan, and it's like they just didn't get the info out in time. It's like should I say something? And then like the moment passes and we're just in a conversation, and then I figured out that's less weird. The weirdest one was an ex-girlfriend from high school who came to a show when I was on the tour years and years ago and pretended like they had no idea. Like they hadn't thought of me after we broke up in high school.
So they lied.
Totally lied.
Oh, okay.
And they had a story about how like they were just running, they were going for a jog, and saw my name on the marquee like a week before, and was like, oh my god, I remember that. And then like found out I was a comedian then, and then I found out like over like the course of 24 hours, I realized they've been lying about all of this. And not only have they followed my career, but like they never stopped following me after we broke up. They were like kind of paying attention, and it was like so uncomfortable and so weird. Because it's like the more they talked, the more obvious it became that they knew everything about me. And that was really weird. But I, like, not weird enough that I would like call them out. I was just like, mm-hmm. And I've not seen them since then. But that was super weird.
Well, yeah, a lot of heavy liars are bad at it. Lying is like a skill. And some people are great at it. Mm-hmm. And you probably never, you either it takes a long time to realize they're lying or you never do. They're just lying and you never find out. But there's plenty of people who do lie a lot and are bad at it. And like once you're getting older, especially if you're speaking with older people, I feel like the older you get, the easier it is to tell who's lying or not. It's like, stop doing that. Everyone can tell. It's problematic.
Some people don't care that they get caught lying. Like they just want to get out of the situation. So it's like, oh yeah, I've got to run. I've got a thing. And you're like, there's no thing, but they still get to leave the room. So it's like,
sure, that's a little different.
I'm lying, who cares?
That's a little different than sort of like everyday life. Have you ever become friends with fans?
No. I mean, the closest there was a friend of mine in Portland who a long time ago was at like a wedding with my parents. And they were like, hi, I'm so-and-so Justin. And they were like, is your son a comedian? And they were like, oh my God, this is before like I had done anything really. And they kind of like, they got his email and we've become friends since then. But that was like 15 years ago. So that's like the closest I've come.
But I use the word fan a little maybe more loosely because I'm sure you've met plenty of people who have become friends or you're friendly with who are fans of your work. Mm-hmm. Who maybe they're comedians too and they're equal or they're younger and like looked up to you coming up, but they're just cool about it and you became friends. And that's that. But those people are fans.
Sure, but they're like they have other things going on. We're not friends because they're fans.
Right,
if that makes sense.
Right,
there are people who are like, I'm a fan of yours. We'd be good friends. It's like that's not like what I. That's not the bar for friendship with me. It's almost better if you don't like my comedy because then it's more interesting to me.
I have sort of become friends with I'm thinking of one specific fan of my football work. Somewhat. And then we ended up becoming just friends.
And what do they do?
What?
What's their job?
I mean, they don't listen to this podcast, but I still don't want to, because it's a friend. I don't want to call them out here.
But it's someone who's like, it's not someone who like works in a different field that you respect.
A different field. Yeah, I totally respect them and everything like that. Totally different, not in football and all that, but yeah. But it did sort of naturally happen. But it does make the relationship uneven, and that's why I'm ultimately like, it does kind of, you sort of eliminate the chance for friendship if you feel like that relationship is like uneven. It's a turnoff if someone's a fan, is what I'm trying to say. Weirdly.
It depends on what kind of fan they are. Because if they're like, oh, I just love, like, thank you for your work, I appreciate it, fine. But right. If they're like, you know what? I'm saying this as a fan, like that one joke.
Well, of course.
It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Of course.
You don't, because you're like a fan, doesn't give you any right to critique.
Right.
Me
then, or, then I wouldn't, then yeah. We wouldn't be friends. But that I just knew that, like, that they, you know, they sort of got to know me, and like we ended up becoming friendly because they liked my work and stuff. It's like people in the industry. Now I've done it for like 20 years, so there's a lot of people that like, you know, we're colleagues and stuff. And there is something, I think it's a self-hating part of me that's like, I maybe respect people just like 5% less if they like me. But that's a me problem.
I can see that. But I mean, I think though, if someone likes
I
your work,
I recognize that's a me
that
problem.
Just means they like sports, and most guys like sports. So true. It's not that crazy.
And that they have good taste in me versus like other people. See, I just flipped it.
Would you describe me as a fan of your work?
No.
That's right. What's your name?
After the Drew gig, this is from Andy, I had a question for Anthony about roasting. As a front row audience member, do you want me to just shut up and be roasted, or do you love someone throwing a line back that allows you to give a great reply?
What do you think the answer is?
Of course they don't want you to give, he doesn't want you to give a line back. Please.
I want you to shut up.
Yeah.
And answer the questions as I give them to you. Don't try to be funny ever. Just if I say, what's your job? Tell me what your job is. Don't lie about your job. Don't make up a funny job. Tell me your name and tell me what you do. Tell me where you're from. But just give me as little information as possible, unless I ask a follow-up. Don't ever try to be funny, and don't ever lie, because there's nothing worse. Even if your name's Steve and you say your name's Bill, I can tell your name's not Bill. People will do that because I think it's like some sort of protection against me talking to them. But yeah, just shut up and answer the questions.
But people try to be funny all the time. That's mm-hmm. the number one mistake. At the Droog show, there was a handful of some of the people were trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying.
Yeah.
It just sort of ruins it because they're never funny.
Never.
They're getting, even if they were funny in their lives, they're too nervous in that moment where they're not going to deliver.
Yeah, and the question's You're not set up for you to be funny. It's like, just answer it, let me be funny, and we'll move on.
I think I had to, you know, stop trying to be funny around you. I mean, I'm naturally funny, so it's just like you can't keep it inside. But
when's the last time you think you made me laugh?
I just did just now. That was like a little...
I'm laughing at you, not with you.
Yeah, but that's what I'm going for at this point. That's my A material, at least in the house with the family. It's, you know, I'm the butt of the joke. That still works.
Do you think I'm your family?
I mean, you're close. You're the godfather.
It's true.
Let's get to the next one. Jack asks, let's get back to the roots. I was surprised you picked this one because I gave you a bunch of options. This was a football one. As a Bears fan, I would like to hear your opinion on the outlook for the Steelers with Mitch Trubisky lining up behind center, personally rooting for the truth. What, his nickname's the truth? That's Paul Pierce, motherfucker. That was unnecessary. Anthony, give your perspective as a Steelers fan. Greg, would you be able to give more of a realistic breakdown?
First of all, let me tell you, I picked this question. We had three questions here. There was one that was like a long thing that was, there was no question in it.
I know, but it was very
sweet. It was the guy who was like sick or something and was like...
It was very sweet.
Yeah, but there was no question. This is about questions.
It's fine. You can...
And then there was something, there was one that I was like, I can't believe you're even sending this to me. Do you remember it?
No.
It was something like really weird and like, fuck, like, it was like, I had like, everyone in my family died and your podcast gets me through it.
Well, now that person's going to hear this and know that's nice that we're providing relief for people. I guess I was
celebrated on the podcast.
I was opening up email corner to maybe it's possibly just like a comment or a short thing. I thought it was a nice story. People struggling and we're here to help. Okay. So you chose this one just because you needed a third.
No, I didn't need it. I was just like, okay, Greg must have put this in for a reason. I think I'm excited for the Trubisky era. I don't think it's going to last a full season. I think he'll start the season out and be serviceable. And I think Pickett gets in there at some point. I think Mason Rudolph is probably gone, even though I think he's been playing probably the best of the three in the preseason. But I'm rooting for Trubisky. I don't think he's a long-term solution. And if we got Garoppolo, I'd be thrilled.
You're not getting Garoppolo.
I know.
Trubisky sucks.
But I would be happy.
You're going to – I hope for your sake, Pickett – continues to look good and just wins the job sooner than later. Because you are not long for Mitch Trubisky.
No.
And he is not the truth. Paul Pierce is the truth.
Why are you talking to me like I wrote the truth?
I'm just...
no one calls Trubisky the truth.
Right. I've never heard that.
But I am rooting for him.
Of course. Why wouldn't you be?
Even if he wasn't on my team, I would still... I feel bad for the guy.
He did win the MVP, the Nickelodeon Most Valuable Player Award.
But he lost the game.
By a lot.
Yeah, but he lost the game. I don't know why you bring that up. Like, anyone gives a fuck. Like, he's happy.
Part of the reason that you got those options is... People bring it with the links. Keep sending the links, but there's a lot of great links. Not many good emails. Like not many emails. Period, and not many good ones. So the email quality, I'm looking for you guys to step up this week.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking to the listeners. Emails need to be better. JRVP, Junior Vice President at gmail.com, because that was like the best that you had, and there was a lot of just like, why would you think we would answer that? The link's great. Let's improve the emails.
Emails need to be better.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say about this Trubisky question?
I just did. I did. You weren't listening. Need I to said be it's gonna. He's not gonna be long for it. The job. Pickett will take over. It's not gonna work out with Trubisky. But because it's Mike Tomlin and because it's the Steelers, like I totally expect them to be in the mix. And I'm sort of in. I'm into the whole Tomlin's never had a losing record thing. I do love Mike Tomlin, and I think he loves this situation where everyone's counting them out, picking them to come in last. They're like over under in Las Vegas is like to be a 7-win team, which is, that's pretty low. He's loving it, and they're gonna end up being like annoyingly good somehow. But it won't be because of Mitch Trubisky.
It will be. He's gonna both sides of the ball. The truth. And that was Email Corner. Shine on, all you diamonds. Was that the same song as before?
That was from last week. That was from last week.
And now it's time for...
Ad copy.
Oh, yeah. So I'm starting with the private internet access.
Great.
Because, look, it's a leading... VPN provider. And what happened was, you know, they send us these links like, you guys should try it out ahead of time. I didn't really understand exactly what it was. Anthony's like taking a deep breath. But our listeners won't understand. What it is a service that you sign into. It's very easy with an app. And you can sign into a VPN where your computer is basically in any location in the world. Short story, I signed up, took about 5 minutes, and the kids can watch anything they want on Netflix from Japan, as if they're in Japan. Any Japanese show they want. On Amazon Prime, anything in Japan. You pick any country you want. You can basically watch all streaming content from all over the world using this service, which they honestly were as more excited, I would say, than like they usually are for Christmas. They were running around the house because they have so many of these Japanese shows that they love to watch that now they can watch with the help of private internet access. I mean, I'm just telling you, other sponsors need to step up because none have made my family as happy as private internet access. How about that?
That's great.
You got nothing else?
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. 30 million people have signed up for... private internet access. So lots of titles, how it works, like are only available in certain regions. It's very easy. This app was, like I said, it took 5 minutes to figure out. You can like pick Norway. I had just said Norway before. You can pick basically any area in the world or the country, UK, Germany, whatever it is, sign in and watch the content from that country.
So this isn't about getting internet access. This is about getting what being able to watch things internationally.
Right. You're basically private. Like they say it's a truly private digital life that's at piavpn.com/JRVP. What that means, like you can't be tracked when you're on this. So you cannot be tracked. And the most common usage that you're going to do with it here is watch shows from all over the world that are like geo-blocked. I immediately thought, I wish I had done this, I could have, before I went to Japan, because I couldn't watch a lot of the American content while I was over there, because it was blocked. Like, some shows I wanted to watch, and HBO Max was just lost. There was no HBO Max for me in Japan. If I had private internet access over there, I would have been fine. And it's cheap. You can use up to 10 devices at once, over 80 countries, every U.S. state, very user-friendly. Like I said, I think private internet access is going to be very happy with me. I just I want more than 6 months. They gave us 6 months. I'm going to want this forever. Now that my kids have it, they're going to want it forever. So if you want to have access to more shows and movies than ever before, now is the time to subscribe to private internet access. Visit PIAVPN.com/JRVP for 82% off plus 3 months of free VPN service and live a truly private digital life. That's PIAVPN.com/JRVP. Seriously, 82% off. That's just $2 a month, and you also get 3 extra months completely for free. But you must go to PIAVPN.com/JRVP for a truly private digital life. One last time, PIAVPN.com/JRVP. I'm into it. I'm also into Mad Rabbit. So Mad Rabbit could be good for you, Anthony. We got our first tattoo together.
That's true.
New Orleans.
St. Patrick's Day.
We've probably told this story on the podcast
we
like
have.
17 times. And you've fixed yours over the years. And I weirdly once saw like a link to one of your fan pages popped up. And they like tracked how you have a bunch of tattoos and that how you've cleaned up that tattoo specifically. Because once it was kind of embarrassing and now it looks cool. Basically. You know your fans are doing this? Just telling you. It has nothing to do with Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is a company that's committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare. So we're both very serious about taking care of our tattoos, preserving them. They provide effective, natural products that help improve the healing process and then preserve tattoos over the life of it. Their hero product, the Tattoo Bomb, revitalizes, replenishes, and proactively preserves tattoo ink. I hate tattoos that fade. They look like crap. Like, you want your tattoos to be awesome. With Mad Rabbit, you know what you're putting on your body. On your body is truly all natural. They also became a carbon neutral company recently. Do you actively preserve your tattoos, Anthony?
I don't, but I should. And that's one thing I didn't know. It's like, after you get a tattoo, obviously you don't put stuff on it. And there's like all kind of like, you want to keep it. You want to keep it kind of wet, I guess is the word, or you know, you don't want it to dry out, but you also don't want it to be like to block up your pores because you want it to be able to heal. So there's different kind of things you can get. This makes it easy. And then years after you get a tattoo, you're going out to the beach, you want it to look good, put a little of that balm on there, and it makes it look like it's fresh and new. Mm. That never occurred to me before, but this is great for that.
Mad Rabbit, you've probably sent this stuff out. It might have gotten lost with some changes going on here. Send us some more Mad Rabbit tattoo care. We love it. When you think tattoo care, think Mad Rabbit. They've preserved over 1.5 million tattoos. Right now, they've got an exclusive offer just for Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project listeners.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
If you go to madrabbit.com/JRVP and use the promo code JRVP, you'll receive 25% off. That's 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/JRVP and use our promo code JRVP. See, every once in a while, I just like look at that camera when I'm reading the ads. We should start like flashing.
And that was
ad copy.
Let's get the headlines.
We got good headlines this week.
We do.
I like them. This was an Anthony special. Sometimes on the weekend, he'll just send something, and I know it's going to be first on the show. It's about a woman named Alexandra Harbushka. Good-looking woman who was lost, wandering in the wilderness, wondering who she was as a person, looking for a sign from God. And that's when God, in his infinite wisdom, gave her herpes.
God herpes.
God herpes are different. She said, quote, "I believe that God was giving me messages that I wasn't on my path. I wasn't being who I was meant to be. Finally, he gave me herpes so I would wake up, listen, and make changes."
Now, you're not going to believe this. I did not read this article. I just saw the headline and was like sending it right to Greg. I love when people give information they do not need to give you. You could have said, like, I turned my life around. Like, I slept around a lot, and now I realized, like, that wasn't my path, and now I'm, like, monogamous. But you don't have to tell anyone at any point that you have herpes or that you got herpes and it made you change things around. Why did she do this?
She sort of made it her brand.
Because she's got to brand herself, and she's like, what can be my thing? Herpes is going to be my thing, and she's hot, you said.
She's a good-looking woman.
Yeah.
She started, like, a website and a TikTok account about, like, living proud with herpes.
You shouldn't live proud with herpes. You can live with herpes. There's no shame in it.
Right.
But there is a little shame in it. There's a little shame in herpes. Like, people have STDs. A lot of people have herpes, and it's not like a gots-to-go situation. But if you're telling everyone about your herpes, that's a gots-to-go situation.
Right. You don't need to, like, hide it from your loved ones, of course.
But some of them, like, my sisters don't need to know about my herpes.
I guess I was thinking more of, like, someone you're sleeping with. You should definitely let them know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, the video is worth it just for your expression after that. But she said it took her a couple years. It says she took 2 years before she fully came to terms with her herpes. She says, I felt like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. I cried every day. I just couldn't seem to get out of this fog. I'm going to say it was, like, more than the herpes, you know? Like, I don't want to psychoanalyze here. But if, like, herpes took 2 years to come to terms with, and then you kind of make it the center of your life, like, I forget what the name of the website is, but her TikTok account, where she has 36,000 followers, and they mentioned that at, like she was a big influencer. I was like, that was too low to mention. But I guess for a, like, herpes living large account, that's pretty good. But, like,
is that what it's called?
No, but that I can find out what it's called. But it's essentially that's what it's called.
You,
it's
like, why are you living herpes. Large with herpes? Live large despite your herpes, but you don't need to, like, put herpes on your t-shirts and be like, hey. Although I do hear, though, people, if you are, like, in a dating site where everyone's got herpes, it is advantageous because you've got to date someone else with herpes, so you right. don't give them herpes or get herpes.
She's married now. She just got married 2 years ago. She says her husband really supported her, encouraged her to become a herpes influencer.
I mean, she's got to be the only herpes influencer.
It's a good corner. I mean, it's not a good corner, but it's a corner. There's only so many corners left on the internet. She found one. It's called Life with Herpes. That's the name of it.
But all life, I mean, everyone who's got herpes has life with herpes. There's nothing like, it's not some special thing you can do. There's no, like, connect the dots on your own crotch type game she's, like, introducing to the world. It's just, like, own your herpes.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody, but let me tell people.
Well, and that God, you know, sometimes sends messages through herpes. You know, he gets in there, he gets in the
So what is she saying? God told her to what? Like, focus on her herpes?
Well, that, you know, she says she was actually not promiscuous, but that she just was on the wrong path, that she was binge drinking a lot. She was struggling with her finances and feeling directionless, and that the herpes was a big time wake up call.
So she could have just, like, not drank as much and, like, paid her bills on time
right.
and not had the herpes, and it would have been the same.
Right.
She just kind of aged up.
I mean, herpes is kind of a wake up call. It's like, fuck. I have herpes. It hurts.
You think herpes hurts? I don't know. Does herpes hurt? Can you feel that you have herpes or you just see it?
I mean, I would assume, yeah, there's pain involved.
Have you ever thought you might have herpes?
No.
You said that too quick.
No,
You never got tested for an STD and thought maybe you got something?
No.
There have been definitely once, maybe twice, that I thought... And I don't know anything about STDs, so I'm like, maybe the herpes is the worst one because you can't cure it. Everything else you can cure, like syphilis, gonorrhea, I think. It's like there's antibiotics, and then there's like herpes, which is like you're fucked. That I did not have herpes, but I've been like, oh, fuck. I hope that's the one you hope you don't have.
I mean, I've been
married. Even HIV is better than herpes because you can cure HIV.
I mean, yeah, I've been with the same woman for like 16, 17 years. So
you trust her.
It's been a while. I do.
But never in college, you never got tested.
No.
Pleasantly surprised that I've never got an STD.
Don't you? It's like anything, and you're gonna like make sure you're in trouble before you go see a doctor, probably. I mean, that's not how people should be, and it's certainly not how I want to be moving forward as I keep getting older. But I definitely wasn't like going. Going to the doctor if I was like a little itchy or something. I just It was just like, oh, you know, that
you didn't
must
get regular
have been the,
checkups?
That must have just been the tennis.
Well, like when you were more like promiscuous in your earlier days, you didn't like get tested regularly, like every 6 months or something, just to make sure?
No.
No?
No, I was generally, you know, we're getting too deep into this, but generally pretty safe out there.
I was pretty safe and responsible, but if I ever wasn't, I was like, I've got to go for my own mental well-being. I had to get that checked out.
I embarrassingly, I don't think I went to a doctor for, I think I went at most once in about a 15-year
even for
period,
an STD
in about
check?
A 15-year period for anything. It was just, which was stupid. Obviously.
I guess I was getting laid
more
than you.
I'm not like proud.
I wanted to get laid responsibly. I don't want those messages from God. Hey God, you shut the fuck up. I don't want your herpes messages.
She said it was devastating, crushing, suffocating. I thought that now I had herpes, that nothing mattered. I didn't think I was deserving of love.
She's not.
Well, she
you can
not.
Have herpes and be deserving of love. If you're telling everyone about your herpes nonstop, you're relating everything back to your herpes. If you're like, hey, did you see the game this weekend? Like, yeah, reminded me of my herpes. You don't deserve love.
Do you think now that it's like a social, I don't know if it's social media or it's just kind of everyone needs a thing. It's like everyone's suffering from something, obviously. And that's almost like you almost want that. And
I think
herpes,
it could be helpful.
She was like, this could be my thing.
I think if you get herpes, you don't know what to do. You don't know who to talk to. And you find someone on TikTok whose whole thing is that they have herpes and they're happy with it. Then I think that would be helpful. But to be the person who's like leading that charge, I think is fucking weird. And God does not love you.
I think we've talked like way more about herpes than I expected. Hit us with a joke that just like ends it. And then I hit the beat, you know.
Greg has herpes. Get tested, Emeka.
Dude, stop playing. I don't know. I'm hitting the same buttons as ever. Oh my gosh. Let's move to the next story. As
nope, we got to
part
do some
of
music.
His job.
Sing us something.
I'm not singing anything. There we go.
What happened?
You don't even want to know.
I do want to know.
Your music was a way better intro than it possibly could have been.
As
part of his job, former White House physician Ronnie Jackson has tried foods from around the world. But there's one food he won't be trying again. Dog penis.
Now, the headline I saw, former White House physician pledges to never eat a whole plate of dog penis again. The fact that he said a whole plate.
That's
like,
it.
He'll nibble on some dog penis, but a whole plate of it? Maybe a bowl of dog penis? That's okay. But a whole plate of dog penis? Never again.
I think he was in the Trump White House. I could be right. I guess I should have checked that. But it was really unnecessary that he even brought it up. It's unnecessary that he said the whole plate. Like little dog penis, like you said, that's great. But he brought it up in context of like, okay, what would, you know, you've had meals from all over the earth. What would your last meal be? And he's like, I'll tell you what it won't be. Dog penis. Once scarf down a whole plate of that.
Why did he scarf down a whole plate of that?
I don't know. I guess as part of his job, he was trying to say that he like was traveling around different health things. And my guess is it was like, you know, he was being served it and it would have been rude not to eat that dog dick.
I don't think so. I think he wanted to eat dog dick or his job was worse than he's making it out to be. Because if you're like, hey, I'm a doctor, I'm going around doing healthy shit. They're like, here's a whole plate of dog penis. And like, can I eat a little bit? They're like, no, to get the full benefits, to get all the antioxidants, you got to eat the whole plate of dog penis.
So,
or was it like when he's looking over Trump every day, he's waking up in the morning going to give him his checkup. And Trump's like, here, I brought that dog penis you like so much. Why don't you nibble on this while I get undressed?
He was like so, he was just so sincere about it. He was just like, I ate a whole plate of dog penis once and I'm never doing that again. The thing that bothers me about this story is it wasn't even dog penis. That it took me like a little while to realize that. That he just thought it was dog penis, but he was like, I think being like vaguely racist just because this food in Korea looks like dog penis. It's called Gaebul, and we do have a photo of it that you can take a look at. It is Gaebul, the Korean word for a fish that does translate to penis fish. Now, as food that you would eat goes, this looks as much like a dog dick as anything. A huge dog dick, though.
A huge dog dick. I mean, I've seen dog penis. It's a little, like a little red rocket, a little lipstick. This is way bigger. And this is fish.
It's just fish. They called it penis fish. It because, yeah, there is a little like head at the end. Big old dog dick.
Fish that looks like dog penis is way preferable to actual dog penis.
Absolutely. I think he thought it was dog dick.
This guy sounds like a bad doctor. And then no one should have been interviewing him.
Yeah, he said another thing was like a fertile. Yeah, he's like a Republican representative now, I believe, in the Congress, and he was the one under Trump who said that Trump's health was in the top 10% of everyone his age. So he's clearly got a loose relationship with the truth.
He's like, Trump's the healthiest president I've ever seen. I can't tell the difference between a dog penis and fish. That's what kind of doctor we're talking about.
He was an idiot.
Where is he representative? What state?
Somewhere in Texas.
Ugh.
Of course. He also like changed my morning because for some reason, and now I forget what the melody was like, but while I was doing these stories this morning, like writing down all my thing, like it like got me singing this song in the morning. It was like, dog dick, don't eat the doggy dick, dog dick, don't eat the doggy dick. Just like it was like in my head all morning. It had a better melody to it that just isn't there now that I'm looking at you. And you just look at me like I'm such an asshole.
I mean, you really set that up and then just watch the dominoes fall.
I mean, I'm just telling you a story. It's not like I created it for you. It just was like, dog dick, dog dick.
Ask me what's like, what?
I think that was more of the melody. Like you would make ridiculous songs in our apartments back in the day and just like sing them all day. Mm-hmm. I do that too. But but that was a song like Walker was right there on the couch. So it had to be just like to myself, you know, just like dog.
Ask
dog,
me, dog, say, dick, Anthony, is there anything you'd never eat again? Anything you've eaten in your life that you would never eat again?
Anthony, is there anything you've eaten in your life that you would never eat again?
Oh yeah. I would never eat an entire plate of dog penis ever again.
Why not?
Well, I mean, it wasn't actually dog penis. It was fish. I would never eat that again.
Dog dick, don't eat the doggy dick. See, it's like after a while.
I like that you would need to sing that to yourself to remind you not to eat the dog dick.
I mean, it was catchy. Don't eat it. Don't eat it.
I assumed a plate of dog dick would be like one giant dog dick on a plate, not a ton of little fish.
Well, you saw a picture of a ton of Gable, probably pronounced Gable. You know, let us know if you're a Korean listener out there, if you've had Gable before, penis fish. Like, I don't know what the size of it. In the picture that we saw, they look freaking gigantic.
I assume it tastes like fish, not like you sure. Can tell the difference between like a penis and a fish penis. Fish don't have penis, do they?
No.
Peni? They got to have something going on down there. I know it. But a whole plate of dog penis, this is false advertising. I think Dog Penis Guy and Herpes God Woman should get together and start their own TikTok. I like the song, even though we've played it three times already.
I know, I keep forgetting which one's been played, which ones haven't. But I will never forget about this next story. It's really part of a new category of stories, which has emerged on the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
And the category is dumb reasons for setting massive wildfires. In the latest case, a 26-year-old Utah man said he was trying to burn a spider when he accidentally set a wildfire in Utah.
Was he in the woods or like outside, or was he in his house and tried to burn it down inside?
No, he was out in nature.
I mean, what do you think is worse, starting a wildfire, and how big was the wildfire? Did people die?
No one died. It as wildfires go, it wasn't like crazy devastating or anything. No one died or was injured. I think it took a square mile. It's still a lot, but nothing crazy.
That's big, but not crazy big. I always think the most embarrassing would be what do you call it? A gender reveal party. When they do that, because there've been in the last couple of years, there've been huge fires because they put up these big fireworks and burn all the shit down. That would be bad.
What didn't we literally do that story on this show?
But there have been multiple.
That's what you're thinking.
There have been multiple of that. That a lot that of like, was, gender reveal party.
That was a year ago, right around this time. Gender reveal party.
And then not putting out your campfire. That's even more embarrassing because that's just like negligence. You're supposed to know when you go out there. Smokey the Bear doesn't put up with that shit. But then trying to kill a spider with fire doesn't seem that bad. It's bad, but it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's funny, but it's not good. I mean, who says that was their reason? The sheriff named Spencer Cannon asked about it, says, there may not be a why. He might not even know why. Yeah, no shit. He was stoned, and he was lighting a spider on fire.
Do you really believe there was a spider involved at all? Or you think he was just fucking around?
I actually
around?
Do, because I think if that's just like your immediate answer, it's just so stupid and specific that it's true.
I'll tell you this right now. I can't stop thinking about what a cool sheriff's name Spencer Cannon is. If your name is Spencer Cannon, and I believe maybe 50% that's his actual name, or that he changed it when he got to the sheriff town. But Spencer Cannon is fucking awesome.
Spencer Cannon in Utah, like, he's got all the wives. He's amazing.
Ask me, say, excuse me, Sheriff, what's your name?
Excuse me, Sheriff. What's your name, Sheriff?
A little something for the YouTubers. Ask me again.
What was your name again, Sheriff?
Cannon. Spencer Cannon. I mean,
what a line read.
Mm-hmm. Cannon.
Makes me feel better about my
imagine
doggy
imagine if you were the
song.
Sheriff and your deputy was named Spencer Cannon. You'd just be like, take my job. Let's flip. I'm the deputy now.
I like that the guy was found. He's 26 years old. And he was found in possession of a jar of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. However, he did not seem under the influence at the time of his arrest, officials said. Yeah, he was stoned. He carries a jar of marijuana. Like, anyone that has jars in the year 2022, he was stoned. He's just, like, stoned and, like, doesn't necessarily look stoned because he's always stoned and he's used to it.
Anyone with jars in 2022 is stoned.
Yes.
I think starting a fire like that sobers you up. Do you remember when we had a fire our senior year? There's like a 5-minute period of embarrassment before you even call the fire department. We're just like, fuck, there's
was
a fire.
Was it that long? Well, your room was literally set on fire. It was a real deal fire.
Yeah.
One of the only jokes
we smelled it.
That you've ever made that was based on reality on your first album, I believe.
No. This is my first ever stand-up set, but I never used that for anything.
Okay.
But I remember we smelled the smoke, and then you and I ran down the hallway together to try to get into the room to see if we could put it out because we like didn't want to call the fire department. We're like, this is too embarrassing. Opened the door, couldn't get in. The smoke was like so black, and like there was no like get on the ground. You can like see where it is. It was just like, no, we've got to call the fire department. But you're like so embarrassed and ashamed. That I would think being outdoors and starting this with like a thing of hairspray.
I mean, you were ashamed because you said it. You or your girlfriend said it.
I didn't said it. It was like an accident.
Right.
But it was my fault. But I think anytime you have to like call the fire department, you don't want to.
I was not like feeling any shame though as I when I went down the hall. I was just like, oh, let's go.
There's no shame. No, there's no shame going down the hall. That's adrenaline pumping. You're like, let's see what we can like man up and take care of this. And you're like, nope, can't.
It was like
we're
a wall.
Die.
It was a wall of smoke. You and your ex accidentally set. We were stoned at the time too, so that wasn't helping. So that might have added to the shame of it all. But I feel like I didn't feel any shame. I wanted that fire department to get there right away before, you know, burnt all our stuff.
I think you'd rather take care of it yourself. But I'm sure this guy tried that and then was like, "Fuck it, let's get my jar and go meet the cops."
I don't even know how he was found. I actually think someone called and they immediately pulled up and he was just like there.
Was the guy's for the?
And he's not getting punished for much. He was arrested on suspicion of reckless burn and possession, but he also was, because it's Utah, was of possession of marijuana, because that's still illegal. And it was like a $2,000 fine. It's like, all things considered.
That means,
light.
There wasn't billions of dollars in damages like there are sometimes that I'm sure he got off very easy. But that's, you thought it's all rocks, man. It's all Wile E. Coyote out there. There's nothing to burn.
Is that true?
It's true. It's all Wile E. Coyote out there.
I mean, no, it's very beautiful.
It's beautiful, nature. But there's not like, it's not trees and shit. It's like these like crazy rocks and like formations. That is, if you're going to have a fire, Utah's the place to go.
I'm thinking of going to Utah.
Sheriff Cannon. I'm going to Utah in October, November for tour.
Buy those tickets, Utahians. I don't know. Maybe it's sold out by now. I don't even really know.
But it will sell out.
It will. I'm considering going with some friends to All-Star Weekend is there. If I can get like
what, NBA?
The approval on the home front. NBA All-Star Weekend. It's right. It's the weekend after the Super Bowl. And
you need approval from the NFL to go?
No, I need approval from...
Sheriff Cannon?
From Sheriff Watanabe, you know, yeah. The home front, to get a couple nights away, you know, right after the season might be tough. But that's the plan. I think it'd be fun. It'd be random, but I think it'd be fun.
I mean, NBA All-Star Weekend is fun, but All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City, it's going to be the lowest.
That's what people say. But it'd be like, what am I, people's like, oh, that won't be a cool, what am I, going to the clubs in Miami? No, I'm just going to see the basketball stuff. Yeah, we'll have fun with our friends, and we'll eat some good food, and it'll be pretty.
It sounds like you really want to go to NBA All-Star Weekend, but you don't want to deal with black people. So you'll wait till they go to Utah, no. And you'll go there.
I mean...
It's going to be the whitest NBA All-Star Weekend of all time, since like the 40s. When the NBA would play.
But that's still, like, that's saying, like, the whitest, like, day in Atlanta in the year. It's still not going to be that white. It'll be fine. It'll be All-Star Weekend.
The whitest NBA All-Star game of all time. Black people do not want to go to Salt Lake City.
People will go.
White people. Asian people.
That's not why. It's more just, like, a totally random thing. And I was like, that's a perfect little weekend.
It's a perfect little weekend. And now it's time for...
Ad Copy.
It is time for ad copy. Viore.
Okay, pronounce the word.
Viore.
Spell the word.
Viore. I pronounce things strangely, but this is correct. Viore. Like Viore.
V-U-O-R-I.
Yes, but they do have a pronunciation guide, and it's just what I say. Viore. Viore. Just say it. I mean, any company that names themselves Viore... Most of the apparel names have been taken at this point, cool ones, but they came up with Viore. Like, I love that as a name.
I'm Sheriff Daryl Cannon.
It wasn't Daryl Cannon.
Gerald's better.
Spencer Cannon.
Spencer Cannon's even better.
So
Spencer.
Viore is beautiful workout gear, essentially. Like, everything they make is designed to work out in, but it doesn't look or feel it. It's basically a better version of what everyone wears in Southern California all the time. Something that you can wear to the grocery store, but you could also wear working out, or you could actually wear out basically all the time.
They're just your nicest workout clothes or your most comfortable nice clothes.
Right. You just did it for me. Use that, Viore. But yeah, you can do it for any activity, swimming, running, yoga, I guess, on, you know, when you're going to swimming.
If you're some weirdo who wears a bathing suit when you work out.
They do have a performance jogger. They have the men's core short, which is like a lined athletic short. You can use it for any sport. They have the women's performance jogger, softest you'll ever own. You probably won't own it, but it will be soft. A bunch of new colors just came in. They have daily leggings. They have it all, but it feels to me expensive, and that's like, it's not expensive, but it just feels expensive. It looks expensive. It's great. It's an investment in your happiness, Viore. For our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at viore.com/JRVP. That's viore.com/JRVP. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but you get free shipping on any U.S. order over $75. And free returns, it's very easy to make returns. Go to VUORI.com, that's VUORI.com/JRVP, and discover the versatility of Viore clothing. God damn, that was a good ad read. I don't know if I can get any better, but I'm going to try with Athletic Greens.
You know Spencer Cannon.
I mean, cold and flu season, it's coming. It really is coming, and when it's coming, you know what I get? I get vaccinated, but I also get one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. It's lifestyle-friendly, whether you like, you know, keto, paleo. If you're into any of the, you know, intense keto? Other diet, is that what it's called? Keto?
Keto.
keto. I had a feeling. Dairy-free, gluten-free, like it all works. It doesn't have much sugar, less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no chemicals, and it's just something you drink every morning, every single morning at the Rosenthal House. It's happening. Tastes good. Looks good. Just shake it up, and you're good. Costs less than $3 per day. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a 1 year free supply of immune supporting vitamin D, 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
And that was
Ad Copy.
Why do I keep hitting that one? I have like 8 different options and I just like, we're nothing if not trendy here at JRVP. And the trendiest new comeback sweeping the globe is the return of the woolly mammoth.
Return of the mammoth.
Didn't expect that. Using salvaged mammoth DNA, Colossal, that's the company that's doing it, will genetically edit Asian elephants, the species' closest cousin, the woolly mammoth's closest cousin. That's a tough thing to say when you have a lisp, which I do. If its plans are successful, it's going to produce a woolly mammoth, or as close as possible, a replica, about 6 years from now.
The article that I chose is entitled, "Woolly Mammoths Are Making a Comeback. Should We Eat Them?" And that's why I picked this.
Right. I was going to get that. That raises a lot of questions. Like, I'm going to ask you, should we eat them?
Fuck yeah, we should eat them. What do they taste like? Why, is it lean meat? Is it like bison?
Nobody knows.
Or is it like buffalo?
But nobody knows, Anthony.
They can guess. I mean,
no, they can't.
Have you ever eaten an elephant before?
Someone has.
I'm sure. I know someone has, but like, you've gone to Japan. You've eaten some crazy shit. You've eaten horse.
No, I've never eaten elephant. I ate horse sort of by mistake, but horses are the soldiers of pets.
Save it for the t-shirt.
No one knows. There was someone, though, and I love it. It was like a woman who was a director of regenerative food and farming who seemed to like be their expert that just like answered wildly a bunch of questions. And she was like, yeah, it probably tastes a little like pork. You'd have to cook it long and slow to render the fat down. Or maybe you make it nice and crispy. She doesn't fucking know. This is 4,000 years ago, a million years ago. I don't know when it was.
But old,
a long like, time.
Old school caveman people. You know, old fucking Daryl Canyon back in the old days.
Now he was
eating woolly mammoth.
Wait, so Spencer Cannon is a descendant of some badass woolly mammoth?
His great 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 grandfather Daryl Cannon.
Daryl Cannon is not cooler than Spencer Cannon. Daryl Cannon sucks. Daryl is not a cool name. Sorry,
Daryl Cannon is the OG. Spencer Cannon's the new school, the new young kid running around firing off half cocked.
This ages me, but I just think of like Daryl, and Daryl when I think of Daryl, if you know that reference. So you don't.
It's from Newhart.
Yeah.
I'm Daryl. This is my... Wait, I'm...
Whatever the hell it is. Larry. It's not like...
What was it?
Larry.
I'm Larry. This is my brother Daryl. My other brother Daryl?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is just the worst. I'm sorry. You were rolling and I totally sidetracked this with a...
I worked with that
Newhart.
Guy.
Newhart.
I worked with Larry on Deadwood.
What was his name?
I forget his real name, but he was great.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. He's old.
Shout out to you.
Did you watch Deadwood?
No, I still haven't. we're off track. I mean, Spencer Cannon back in the day.
They bring back woolly mammoths, all right? If they pull a Daryl Cannon special, Daryl Cannon froze one back before they went extinct, saved it, gave it to his great-great-grandson, Spencer Cannon. And they brought them back. I would think you'd want to wear a woolly mammoth. They're woolly. You want like a cape made out of woolly mammoth.
Well, yeah, there's
skin.
A lot of fur.
Yeah, a lot of fur. And then you could eat them. What would you eat?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I would eat them. That was the question that the article asked and was interested in. to be clear, the company that's looking to make it doesn't bring up eating them at all. It would probably taste amazing because generally the fattier the animal, the better it's going to taste. I mean, the fat's kind of the...
But nobody eats whales.
Well, but that's like a ethical. That's like an ethical thing. I'm sure it would taste good.
I don't know.
Maybe it's too much fat. Either way, it would be a strong combination, I believe.
Nobody eats hippos?
Of fat and like muscle and whatnot. You would think it would taste good. It's been 3,900 years. I thought it would be longer than that. They say it's been 3,906 years since the woolly mammoth has been there. That's another one of those things where it's like you're being way too specific at this point. You don't know that it was exactly 3,906. And you don't know that there's going to be a woolly mammoth in 6 years. You're like, oh, yeah, if everything goes well, the replica is going to be here 6 years from now. I mean, it feels like a big leap to me. I know maybe the experiment's going well, but it feels like a big leap to me that we're getting that woolly mammoth.
We're
going to
play this clip back in 6 years. You're going to feel like a fucking idiot. You're going to feel stupid.
If this merch goes well enough and the YouTube subscribers go well enough, we will be doing this show in 6 years. And I'm going to be chomping on that woolly mammoth. We're going to spend so much money going out to eat woolly mammoth. It's not going to be cheap.
Do you think it'll be expensive or cheap?
Initially, it would be expensive. Well, I don't know what is the purpose of it. I mean, I'm a little worried about it. Like, so this woman, Holly, who they use, like I said, for a lot of these quotes, she said she would eat anything that was holistically grazed. And my answer to that is like, it's not up to you. It's not going to be up to us necessarily whether we eat the woolly mammoths.
Why not?
They're like the size of like, are we sure we're going to be able to control them? They're going to be genetically engineered woolly mammoths. They might start multiplying. This could be like a Jurassic Park situation. This could be a situation
they're
going to
have sex and have kids. But you think woolly mammoths were taking over the world before? Like, there's a reason they went extinct in the first place. They're easily controllable. They're docile.
I guess. I guess maybe they're just like a big buffalo. Who knows? And people do eat buffalo meat, but there's just not a lot of buffaloes. But as one person in the article pointed out, like, you're carrying out a bioengineering experiment, which the goal is to specifically create change, like, on a global scale. Like, you're tampering with the climate system of everything. Like, everything could change when the woolly mammoth gets here.
Well, Jurassic Park over here. Fucking Richard Attenborough. Who played the old guy in Jurassic Park?
Aaron. Richard Attenborough.
Yeah. Richard Attenborough. Yeah, fuck yeah.
David's brother.
Yeah. Check out fucking Spencer Cannon over here. Getting it all right.
It's going to be me. I don't know why I didn't know they were
Spencer
related.
Spencer Cannon. Digging into some woolly mammoth, eating good in the neighborhood.
I like those Attenborough documentaries on Netflix, like Our Earth and whatnot. My kids love those, the David Attenborough ones. Just saying. A little off topic.
Eating woolly mammoth, that and Applebee's. What's that song? Remember the Applebee's song?
I mean, no. It's not eating woolly mammoth at Applebee's.
Yeah, it is.
It would take. They've raised $75 million for this project. I feel like this is a lot of hype. I'm not really convinced that that they'll be here.
You're going to have egg all over your face.
But I'm going to have woolly mammoth all over my face when just like the juices are dripping down.
Sounds like you just... That was Greg describing giving a blowjob to a woolly mammoth.
Finally in the news, I love this last story about a 99-year-old Mexican woman whose dying wish was to have a 5.5-foot-tall, 600-pound statue of a cock and balls mounted on her tomb after she died.
So is she still alive?
No, she recently passed away, and that's why this story went viral.
Did she get to see the penis that would go on her tombstone?
She did, yeah.
Okay. So, like, and was family all about this? Were they like, yes, grandma, you get it? Or were they like, please don't embarrass us?
So they were into it. Her name, Katerina Orduña Perez, was also known as Doña Cata, died recently. And they said that she had, in their words, BVE. So instead of big dick energy. They had big vergas energy, which is kind of another word for
your
for
Spanish is incredible
in Mexican. You know, kind of a word, but apparently it's a little more flexible than our word. And she would talk about that a lot. She was like that, her family, she would just says was like a bunch of verguses. And by that, she meant like, we don't take any shit. Like we're gutsy. We're our own people. We're singular. Like she thought like it symbolized everything Mexican and was badass. And that's what she wanted to do. She like wanted to challenge authority by getting this big cock, on her tombstone.
So they're like the Spencer Cannons of Mexico. Do you think this sounds to me like it's almost like a freshman in their dorm room having like pictures of naked women on the walls? It's like what this, I know what you think this says, but it says the opposite. That it sounds like
that's what I thought, but then I read the article and like she convinced me. She's a badass, and like her whole family was just like, yeah, she's crazy. Like she was like a famous woman in her, like politically in her area as just kind of like this renegade. Like everyone thought she was a badass. And she said, this way no one's going to forget her. She's right. Like everyone like loves like what a badass she was. And everyone would remember her more easily because of this. She wanted to break the paradigm of everything Mexican, her grandson said, where things are sometimes hidden because of not having an open mind. She was very forward thinking about things. And by forward thinking, she means huge cock, 600 pounds on her tombstone.
Do you think that she's right now getting railed by Babe Ruth in hell?
It was 55 years old, babe. I tried. Let's look at the picture. Let's look at the picture, Anthony.
Whoa.
That we do have a picture of Catarina Perez, and we have a picture of the cock being made. I think we also might have one on the actual tombstone as well. But she was able to see it before she died.
So that's on the left. That's her. That's the giant cock, and on the right, it's a picture of her sitting on it.
She's in her wheelchair there. And yeah, people should check out the whole article on Vice.com. I think they kind of cornered the market on this story. But they also had on Twitter, you could see an unveiling. And there is the beautiful tomb in its final resting spot. The unveiling was hilarious because it was just, I think, her nephew speaking in Spanish for 15 seconds, so I didn't understand it. And then taking the smallest towel off like the top of, like everyone had already seen it. You know, everyone could see the dick and the balls, and he takes off the little towel, and they all cheer.
I like that they still had a crucifix in front of the penis, but like very tiny, like a very small crucifix. And she died. She choked. Okay, Greg, you're the grandmother. You're the grandmother in a different family. I'm your son.
I'm the grandmother in a different family.
Yeah, a family that's not supportive of her dreams. Tell me that you want a giant penis on your tombstone.
Okay.
But I'm against this.
Okay. So Sonny, I've been thinking about, my time on this earth is coming to an end, and I've been thinking about what I want on my tomb, and I want something people remember, and I want a huge, huge penis and balls to be constructed for my tomb.
Okay.
Oh, so you're okay. You're fine. I was worried that you guys would be a little.
As soon as you die, we're going to build that giant penis and put it on your tombstone.
Oh, I would like to see it. I would like to see it.
Trust us.
But how can I know if it's to the specifications that I would like? Because I would like the balls to be significant.
Have faith that after you die, anyone who comes to your grave will see a giant penis. Just believe us.
I mean, they said it took nearly a month and a team of 12 people, including a carpenter, a sander, a sculptor, and a carver to build the statue. They got delayed on the ball sack. The first attempt, like the ball sack was disfigured and they sort of had to restart. But they were excited. They looked at this woman, Doña Cata, who was known throughout the small town. That's what she was known. It was Masantla in Veracruz. They were all big fans of her. And like the whole town kind of came together. They thought it was a joke at first, but they were like, okay, you're into it. Like, let's do it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, the town was into it. They're psyched. This is the best thing that ever happened to them.
It's like Lisa has colloquial pride when referring to the members of her family as vergas. I don't know. I mean, one should not give up. When problems arose, you need to face them head on, like a vergas.
What does that have to do with a giant penis?
I'm not totally sure, tombstone. But that was just like symbolic. Like she would call them all vergas, which, you know, just that's cock, I guess.
Sounds like she's out of her fucking mind. And now it's time for choo-choo recommendation station.
I'm going to recommend a TV show. Look, controversial last week. Got a lot of response about my tennis. Some people really liked that, by the way. Thought I was going left out of left field. Some people did not. This time, a little more traditional. Rap Shit on HBO Max, the new Issa Rae show.
I've seen ads for it.
Half-hour show. Love it. Love the soundtrack. The music is so good. It's about two friends kind of starting out in the lower levels like of the rap game, and she gets like subcultures really well. Like Miami looks awesome. The whole Miami subculture is awesome. The like sort of rap, like starting out in rap, it's definitely a light, funny show, but like I like that. It's like a half hour. Give me a half hour show for once. You know I love female friendship. That's my jam, whether it's novels or TV show. So it's 5 episodes into the first season. I think there's going to be 8, but it's really good. Like 2 great actresses who are the leads. Issa Rae is not in it, but I love one of the two leads. The kind of second lead is just like amazing. They're very easy to root for as they're kind of like coming up in the game. I'm into it. Rap Shit.
Cool. I'm going to recommend 2 things this week. One, an album that I've been looking forward to for months now. It's called Cheat Codes. It's from Danger Mouse and Black Thought from The Roots. It's fucking awesome. Apparently, they've been making it for like 6, 8 years maybe, and kind of shelved it for a while and then brought it back. But it's awesome. It's Black Thought, who's one of the best rappers alive right now, and Danger Mouse, who's one of my favorite producers. Hasn't done hip-hop in a while, but it's a great album. Did you listen to it?
I did. You told me to listen. I thought that meant like we're going to talk about it at the top. I should have known you were recommending it. And yeah, I've been listening to a ton of it, especially when I exercise. It is the shit.
It's great. And there's a new Ural Droog album, Yodney Dangerfield, which is great. It came out last week. Fantastic album, a return to form after Yod Stewart, but I prefer this to Yod Stewart. I love Yod Stewart, but Yodney Dangerfield is fantastic. A lot of great comedy references in that album.
Ural Droog tweeted out a video of our podcast.
I know, and I was like, oh, what did we say? Was it good?
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, but I just was tickled. I even responded to his I responded to his Instagram post. He put it on Instagram too, and I was just like, this is a career highlight for me to have Ural Droog send out a video of me wearing a sponsor's shirt.
Yeah, I think the book I recommended last week, the guy was like, the author tweeted, he was like, oh, Anthony Justin had called it the Latino John Wick. Not sure I agree with that. And I was like, why did I even say that? If I'm recommending your book, don't quote me. My book recommendation this week is one that I was looking forward to for a while and was an interesting book. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Heat with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino,
yeah,
Val Kilmer.
New book.
Michael Mann and Meg Gardner wrote a sequel to it called Heat 2. It takes place right after Heat ended, and kind of shows what Val Kilmer's character does after that movie, and then kind of goes into the past for a story about Pacino and De Niro back in the day. I thought it was great. A great crime noir thriller. I would love to see them make it into a movie. I'd love to see them write like 10 more books based on these people. I loved it. Heat 2 by Michael Mann and Meg Gardner. Check it out wherever books are sold. And that was
choo-choo
recommendation station. Walker, get us the fuck out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.